Turn in your Bibles to the fifth chapter of the book of Romans. We're going to look at four different texts today. And I said off air before we came on to recording here that we're going to go a little different than we normally do. Normally we do verse by verse exposition and we look at a passage in context and then we try to see what it meant to the original audience and then try to apply it to our lives today. And we've been in a series called This Is How. But today, this morning, I had another text prepared, several texts, and yet God impressed upon me in such a way that I believe I should deliver this message for this hour in this place as to dying men, to dying men. And we're going to look at four different texts today, but we'll start with Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and we've preached on it before, but we'll call this message, This Is How to Feel God's Love. This is how to feel God's love. And if you would, for the reading of the Word of God, let us stand. Romans chapter 5. We'll be explaining some things about the love of God and in putting it in a way that perhaps, well, I hope it will inspire, thrill you, equip you, and encourage you, edify you in every way that you may be stronger in Christ, that His name would be glorified through you in this house and in the world. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Father, the Holy Spirit shed yet again the love of God in our hearts this day. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray, amen, and you may be seated. So basically, I'm going to give you four little texts here and give you four basic points here, and I'll alliterate them with the letter P. And that's about all I have written on my page right now because I just wrote it in the last 5 minutes. And we don't normally do that. Normally, we take all week to break down the thing and do sentence structure and subject and predicate and all that little stuff, Sue, and verbs and adverbs and this, that, and the other thing. All that to make it look like we're doing this, It's like when your wife makes this beautiful meal and you're like, man, that was great. It looks easy. And she's going, it ain't easy. But the first thing I want you to notice about God's love is that once we've received God's love, once we have been enveloped in God's love, once we have felt God's love for us in the sense we know that our sins are forgiven, we come into this place where we have to stand in that faith. We're justified by faith, just as if we had never sinned. We're declared righteous by God because of our faith in Jesus Christ, His atoning blood. And so we're declared righteous. We are made righteous in the sense of we have an infusion of righteousness, but that's what we live out in sanctification. That's not what saves us. It's not the righteousness He gives to us. It's the righteousness He is for us. That's the difference between all other religions and ours. Our God must save us all the way or it ain't no way. Jesus plus anything is nothing. Jesus plus nothing, hallelujah, is everything. But the thing is we have faith. We say, God, save me based on Jesus. However we declare that, that's the point, is that God declares righteous based on Jesus. And it says, being justified. That's what being justified means. Our sins are forgiven. Not only are our sins forgiven, we've been given the righteousness of Jesus. His sinless life counts for us, not just His atoning death. And so we get to the party not owing any debts, but we also have the card. You need to get behind that velvet rope. You know what I'm saying? We have all of Jesus. You say, I know Jesus died for me. Yes, but did He live for you? People, what? You can evangelize that way because people don't think that. They think, okay, Jesus gives me a little something now if I live a good life. Believe me, friend, He loved you before you lived a good life, before we were just sinners, but He loved us. And so we feel that love. We know we're sinners. We're down in a pit. We look up and we say, God, you have to save me. And he saves us. And we are justified by faith. But the point is then after that, we have to stand. And sometimes we don't stand too good. And sometimes we got to be like me and stand on a platform because we're not too tall. And sometimes we stand in places and we don't think we can stand. And we seem to bow the knee and we're crushed under the weight. And this text describes that point. That we can still feel God's love for us even in these trials. Again, we're going to talk about several different aspects of God's love and then get you to see something. But the first thing I want you to notice is that we can feel God's love. Feel it. I mean, know it experientially. Not just in our head, but in our heart, in our life, through pain. Tough one to start off with, right? Pain. Pain or problems. It says, through him we've also obtained access by faith into this grace where we stand and we rejoice in the glory of God. So we think, woohoo! Yay! But then it says, more than that. We think, cool, more than that, cool, more than that. And that's just, we rejoice in sufferings and we go, no, no, not that. Not that. They're coming, folks. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. In this world you will have tribulation, but fear not, I have overcome the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We're justified by faith, and then we stand by faith, and we have sufferings. But it says, knowing that suffering, this reminds us of James chapter 1, does it not? We rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Because we know something. We know that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces, here's that word that everybody from fifth grade under doesn't like, character. Because your principal says, homework builds character. Do they still say that? Character, character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love, and it says in the Greek, is shed again, as it were, has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Let me turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 very quickly. And verse 14 says, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. A fragrance of death unto death. What do you smell like to Christians? What do you smell like to non-Christians? And when it says triumphal procession, that gives you a picture of the old general conquering a town or an army, and then he parades the army up to the Colosseum, and all the people are in chains. But this is Jesus in front, and we are shackled willingly. We say we're leading in triumphal procession, even if it leads through pain, through poverty, through sickness, through peril, through whatever it is, through prison. And people say, oh, I get to the next point. I don't like this. Friend, you're in it now. Somebody hear me. But it says, God's love is poured again into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that's given to us. And we've talked about genitives and objective and subjective genitives. In other words, what describes the noun? Does this mean, Steve, the love of God, that the love that God has for us is shed in our hearts? We feel it again. Even though we're going through it, we still know he loves us. It's that. But is it also our love for God? So it says, the love of God. What does it mean? Does it mean our love for him or his love for us? I believe this is a plenary, what's called a plenary genitive. In other words, it means both. It's cyclical. We feel God's love for us, and it produces more love for him. We are loving God, and he's loving us. Through this pain, through this suffering, Jesus is the only one that really knows what's going on. Jesus is the one that said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? No matter how far down you go, no matter how bad it seems, Jesus was lower, and as you know, he came up. So look at him and rise up with him. But this is just the beginning of what I want to talk about today. This is just the first text, but you see that the suffering, the pain produces this hope. We know this, and so we rejoice, and we feel the love of God for us still, even if we caused the thing, even if we're guilty of the thing. We were guilty in spitting God in the face, and he still loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He justifies the ungodly. and knowing this, and we get down on ourselves, and we think this isn't any good, and God must not love me. And then he says, I loved you before, I love you now. I declared you righteous. You don't have to work for your salvation. You work from it, and you get to understand that, and then you feel it again. This is an experiential thing. Hasn't anybody in this house ever felt the love of God when they were in the midst of a trial, and all of a sudden there's this effusion of God's love to you and from you? But this is only part of what I want to say today. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Oh, I know this already. Just hold on. 2 Thessalonians. Obviously, that's not in my notes. I don't have any. Chapter 3. Let's look at verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all men have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your heart. Says it on our website, says it in our bulletin every week. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. And again, we have the same issue here in the Greek language. Is this the love that God has for us or the love we have for God? It's both. When you feel God's love for you, that's when you have love for God. We loved him. Why? Because he first loved us. If you want to feel God's love, you ask God, and it says through here, through prayer, pray for us. So that's the second P I want to give you about feeling God's love. The first was, we can feel God's love through pain. It takes a while. It's a process. You saw suffering, endurance, hope, then that, right? So it takes a while sometimes. Here he says, pray for us. And he's praying for them. Prayer is one way that we can feel God's love and have God's love go through us. So pain, Romans 5, 1 through 5. Prayer, 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 5. Again, that's the same thing we're talking about. We feel God's love for us and we give God's love. You know, it's cyclical. We love him because he first loved us. And he's so encouraged by them. He says, I believe in you because you believe in God. I know you're doing good, and but there's more. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Very quick message, I guess. That's okay. But who wants to feel God's love today? Now, I'm going to describe something to you that when you say that, you may not understand what I'm talking about. Until I describe it. We'll read just from verse 16, although we want to focus on verse 22. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. In other words, the things you want to do righteously. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Kind of sweeps it all right there. And things like these. I warned you, as I warned you before, those who do such things, in other words, practice them, those that aren't inheriting the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So the love of God comes sometimes through pain or pressure, problems. Sometimes through prayer. It's really all the time. And here we see produce, the fruit of the Spirit is. What's on the inside comes to the outside. What we're planting on the inside comes out. Now here's where I want to take a little turn here. We've been talking about the love of God, and we've been describing it as God's love for us, and we feel that. We know we've been forgiven, or we know that, you know, we're breaking fellowship because we're doing silly things, but we know we've been forgiven in the overall sense, and we confess to God our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, right? 1 John 1:9, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We feel his love again. Sometimes we go through pain, and we just can't stand it, and we want to turn away, but then we feel God's love, and we have some kind of a hope within us. And we pray for it. We say, God, help me. And then you feel it through the touch of somebody else. Or you feel God's love through another person and that sort of thing. Or in your heart, however it's working. But here's the thing I want you to see here. The fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says that God is love. Not that love itself is God, but that God is loving. And he says, in this is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the payment for our sins. But here's the third thing. Not just the love of God to you, not just love for God from you, the love of God itself, for himself, within the Trinity itself. The love of God, the love he feels for himself, the perfect love based on people that are perfect, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, the love between the Father and the Son, and the Son and the Spirit, and the Father and the Spirit and the Son, all of that love, that's the most perfect love that there is in the universe. And that is the type of love that we've been brought into, because the Bible says that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And so it may be beyond reality in your mind, but it's a matter of perspective and a matter of something that we can grow into, that this same love that God has for himself, for his Son, for his Spirit, they have for each other, the love that exists within the Trinity itself, that's the love of God. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? The most perfect, enjoyable, woo, thing in the whole universe is a fruit of the Spirit. Because we think of fruit of the Spirit, we think, well, okay, the fruit of the Spirit is love. I'm not really feeling love because I'm not being nice to Carol. Right? And then, fruit of the Spirit. I'm loving to Ruby now. Okay, I'm loving to Sue now. I'm loving to Richard now. I'm loving to Ed now. I'm loving to all these people now. I'm loving. Okay, that's the fruit of the Spirit. And we determine it in that case. We think of it in that sense. But how about we have to feel that love for us before we give that love out to somebody else? Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a reason why you're not very loving to other people, because you're not understanding God's love for you at first. Think about how God is loving. Joyful, it says he will rejoice over you with singing. My peace I leave with you, right? God is long-suffering, right? God is gentle, God is good, God is kind. God is temperate, right? God is so faithful and kind and gentle. All these things, he is these things. It says the fruit of the Spirit is. It's not like there's a separate category that he's taken out and putting in believers. Okay, this is my fruit that I'm going to produce in you. No, this is what he is. The fruit of the Spirit. It's God living through you. And so when we begin to understand and we begin to feel God's love for us, like when you first were a believer and you really were a believer, you began to understand God, you had new desires, you wanted to do different things, you wanted to be around God's people. Maybe, what is this with the Bible and this with prayer and this with sin? And you felt it as, okay, God, help me, instead of this crushing weight of, oh, I've got to do it, you start to say, he did it, and you start to live it based on the fact that he did it. And you can pick up the football every time you drop it, because he's going to put you right back in the game. But see, the love God has for himself is unfailing, perfect, without measure, full, everything. Think about the love God has for himself. See, he didn't need us because he already had love for himself within the three persons. The Trinity, I'm telling you, is the truth. This is one of the reasons why. So the idea of the fruit of the Spirit, instead of first seeing it as, okay, I'm not doing very well, I'm not being very nice to Melissa, I just can't do it, don't see her enough, I just don't like her. But you feel God's love for you and say, look, you weren't even half as nice, Melissa, as to you as you were to me, and I loved you and I died for you. You can do that. And when we understand it, then we feel it, then we'll be able to be nice to the other person. But it goes beyond that. It can go to every person, no matter what they do to you, because that's the power of the love of God Himself. And in heaven, we're going to be feeling that so full and so free and so rich. We're going to be flying. I'm telling you. Don't you want to know God's love like that? Not just the love He has for you and He sent His Son to die for you, and that's wonderful and that is love, but the idea that we're enveloped into the Godhead itself. Have you ever thought about that? Christ in you, the hope of glory. The love of God to us, the love for God from us starts with that. But the love of God, Lord, I want to know that. I want to know that. That is ultimate ecstasy. Do you understand me? Far beyond anything this world has to offer, and we can have a taste of eternal life. Now we will have that perfect love. That's the love I want to feel. Have you ever felt like you felt it? Nothing better than that. Now let me finish. We talked about Romans 5:1-5. The love of God can come through pain, problems, pressure. 2 Thessalonians 3:1-5. The love of God can come and does come through prayer. Galatians 5:22. The love of God comes because it's the produce, the fruit of the Spirit. Whew! And our last text, Habakkuk 3:17-19. Habakkuk was a pre-exilic prophet. And he, Habakkuk 3:17-19. It was before the nation had been taken away into captivity in Babylon. And Habakkuk had these burning questions. Why? Why isn't this working? Why doesn't this happen? What did I do? What did we do? Come on. And just all kinds of questions. And then he gets to the point where it's just burning up inside him. It's only 3 chapters. You should read the book. But here we are at the end of the book. And as a little song to sing, your heading might even say, Habakkuk rejoices in the Lord. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Perspective. Perspective. All these regular measures, he's using all these measures we could look at and easily apply today, though the fig tree should not blossom. Something we're waiting on, nor fruit be on the vine. Something we planted, something we're waiting on. It's, you know, you planted for grapes for 4 or 5 years and they just don't yield anything, right? The fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold. No herd in the stalls. Nothing is working. I don't feel this. I see no results. There's no fruit out there. What are you talking about? I've been praying for this and nothing is happening. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. I love Psalm 78:26. My heart and my strength may fail, but the Lord is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Well, I don't have the job I need. Well, I don't have the health I need. I don't have the marriage that I think I need. I don't have the car that I need. I don't have the education that I need. It seems like I don't have a lot of things that I really truly need. But the fact of the matter is God is the God of the universe who created all the universe. And even if I die in this body, God is my portion. Okay, even if, you know, the one who has the most toys wins, first of all, you don't take them with you. But even if you did, What are your piddly toys? What's this earth compared to the universe? What's the universe compared to God Himself? God Himself is my portion. Okay, so you went to the competition. What'd you get? I got a ribbon. What'd you get? Oh, I got a crown. Oh, I got $500,000. Okay, well, you went. What are you taking with you? God! Right? Think about it. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Even when everything else isn't working, they were about to get taken in captivity, and Habakkuk was a prophet. He knew it. He said, everything else seems like fruitful. All the regular measures of what would say, you are a success. Everybody else would say, you're not a success. Even people in the Christian church will try to say, you must have sin in your life, bucko. Sometimes we do. But we can still rejoice in the God of our salvation. And so when all the regular measures of what we think is fruitfulness are gone, there is still fruit because we rejoice in the God of our salvation, and joy is a what? Fruit of the Spirit. Jesus came to earth having left the glories of heaven to come here, not as a king, but as a lamb, knowing what he was going to do, knowing that he was going to help people and heal people and that they would reject him, spit on him, hate him now and through eternity. And yet he loved them and he lived a perfect sinless life and he died for them and he took the wrath of God the Father. See, we don't understand love sometimes. Sometimes love means we have to go through some things. Sometimes love means we have to be crushed in our heart so that we would seek him with our whole heart, because then he makes our heart anew. Sometimes, well, let me just tell you something. I got a couple minutes. If Dan the AC man came over, and I said, Dan, I got this clinking noise. Click, 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 click. Something like that. He said, okay, make that noise again. Click, click, click. He said, you need to see a car mechanic, not me. But whether I'm at the car mechanic or the plumber or the AC guy, you might even know what the problem is, but it's not what the problem is and how the problem works. It's where it is, because you got to find it and then remove it. And you want me to tell you where your problem is today? I'll tell you where your problem is today. The problem is today is where your will is meeting God's will and you won't bear the cross. Your problem is in that one area where you think, Lord, help me in all these and then I'll do this. That's your problem. That's where your problem is. The problem is that you won't submit to God fully, to Scripture, or in some area of your life that you do know that you know better, and you don't have to have me tell you, and I can show you the Scripture, and then you see it, and you still want to defy that. You're not defying me, you're defying God. And that's what it is. And that's where your problem is. And so God the plumber comes in and says, okay, here's the hairball. Take the hairball out. Now do this. Now later on you can say, do this and this and this, so you don't have to get a hairball again. But the area of our problem is that the area of our lack of submission. And why do we do that? Because in that area we don't trust God, because we don't feel his love and joy and all that. And so we say, Lord, I'll endure the pain. Help me to have that hope. Help me. I know this is working because your word says it is. Lord, I'm praying for this. I'm asking other people to pray for me. Lord, help me. Help me. Lord, I want to feel your love in this situation so that I can love this other person, so that I can do what I need to do, so that I can overcome this stuff. My flesh doesn't want to do it, but my spirit does want to do it. Fill me with your spirit and help me to have the right perspective. I mean, this is amazing. You should read this book of Habakkuk, because he just lets it all out on the line here, and at the end he comes to the realization, and we can do that. We have these gigantic tussles with God. Who's the friend that loves you? Jesus, we know. But when you are in the hospital, or when they're in the hospital, and you put each other there maybe even, and they come to see you anyway. Or that person you went the battle through, and then you came out the other end and you understood each other better. And most people in this room will probably say, oh, that doesn't make any sense to me. How, you want to feel God's love more than ever? You got to be like God is. God forgives people. God loves people. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You want to do the will of God? Ask God to be able to do His will. Pray for it. Be ready for the burden that might come in having to try to do it. Have others pray for you. Watch how those things are when it comes your way and say, I'll make the choice for God and not against God. Not for my own rights, but because He is right. And then say, Lord, give me eyes to see, sight beyond sight. That although there be no olives, fruit, cattle, horses, anything, I can still rejoice in the God of my salvation. My prayer is that you would feel the love of God for you on the cross. Loving them, He loved them till the end. And He'll love you all the way to eternity. The Bible says, this is eternal life, that you would know Him, the one true God, and the Son whom He has sent. Again, this is love. Not that we love Him, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the payment. The propitiation means made us favorable to God. Father, the Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians that we would know the love of God which surpasses knowledge. And we can hear these words in our head, and some of this we have felt in our heart. But Lord, let this be an experience in people's lives, that they feel Your love for them, that they might show their love for You and their love for others because You love them, and that they would understand the love You have that we are being drawn up into. The love You have in Yourself. This is the love we want to know, that You've given us pieces of when You've forgiven us. Help us to stand in that grace and to walk in it, Lord. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.